Psalm chapter 30, verse 5. For his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And that's the little thought that we've had with us the last day or two. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Thought a whole lot about this week and what went on whenever Jesus was crucified. I guess it was Wednesday, and we thought about how that Judas betrayed him with a kiss. He agreed to betray him for 30 pieces of silver. And when he saw what happened to Jesus, it tore him up, didn't it? That he thought that he might have been the cause as to why Jesus was punished, why he was beaten, why he was smoked, why he was bloodied. And he took the pieces of silver back to them, didn't he? And he cast, when they wouldn't take them, he cast them down. And the Bible says he repented within himself, and he went and hung himself. Being sorry that something happened, being sorry that you got caught, is not repentance. Amen. Repentance involves a change of behavior.
Amen.
It involves you turning from the way you were going and going a new direction. That was Wednesday. Also Wednesday, we read about Peter. After they came and got Jesus, he followed afar off. And he got right up close to the fire that they were at. Warmed himself by the fire. And one of the folks that was there said, "You must be one of Jesus' followers because your speech betrays you." And he denied him three different times, didn't he? And he looked over and he caught Jesus' eye, and he went out and wept bitterly. Then we read about Thursday, whenever they tried him, whenever Pilate examined him, and I'm just going to talk for a minute till the Lord comes by, and I'll get to this verse. Pilate examined him, and he brought him out to the people, and he said, "Behold, Jesus of Nazareth, I find no fault in him." And he also had Barabbas, a man that was no doubt guilty. He committed murder. He had committed sedition. Preacher, what's sedition? That's stirring up the people against the rulers. He was guilty, not a doubt. And they cried, "Give us Barabbas. Crucify Jesus. Away with him. Away with him." We're no different from the crowd that day. You're going to make a choice today as to what you want to do with Jesus.
Amen.
You'll either crucify him or you'll accept him. No matter what you do today, well, preacher, I wouldn't nail these hands there. Listen. The Roman soldiers were irrelevant. Our sins is what nailed him to the cross.
Amen. Come on.
What you do today with him matters. You may come into contact with somebody today that doesn't know him. What are you going to do with him today? Are they going to see Jesus in your life today? Or are you going to celebrate sin? Because I'm afraid that's the point we've got to in this day and age, is we celebrate our imperfections. We celebrate sin. We say, "Oh, we've got a disease. Oh, I can't help it. I've got something that can help you do better. I've got eternal salvation that can turn your life around." Oh, listen, friend, and you pray for me for a few minutes. And so they took Jesus on the Friday and they nailed him to the cross. He went all the way up Calvary's Hill, and on the way up, they compelled one Simon to take his cross. There was Simon with his wife and maybe his kids. And Jesus had been beaten and battered and bruised till he was almost unrecognizable, and the blood was flowing down his body and maybe squishing in his shoes. And you could see the bloody footprints as he walked up Calvary's hill. And they said, "Simon, come on, help him carry his cross." They had to compel Simon. They had to kind of convict Simon. They had to kind of make Simon carry his cross. But I could see Simon years later, after what happened, saying, "Look, kids, I had the privilege of carrying the cross of the Savior." Now, the Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. And I've got good news for you, preacher. I wasn't there on that day. If I'd have been there, I'd like to carry the cross. You can do it today. You can bear his cross today. You can lift up his name today. Does he mean something to you? Is the name of Jesus worth something to you? Does he ring true as your Savior? Do you worship him? I'm afraid we've lived to the day where we worship and serve the creature more than we do the Creator. If it's convenient for me, then I'll do it. But if it's something that I'm going to be inconvenienced with, shame on it. I'm here to tell you today, if you want Jesus to bless you, if you want Jesus to help you with your problems, then you have to live for it every day.
Amen. Amen. Come on.
Bless you, Lord.
Bless you, Lord.
Bless you, Lord. They cried away with him. That's what the world's saying today. That's what our families are saying today. That's what our neighbors are saying today. This is the Sunday. Now, I know we celebrate Christmas and the birth of Christ. But if you're a true believer in Christ, surely this would be the Sunday you would find your way to his house.
Amen.
And look, we've got empty seats. You know where they're at? They're waiting on the ham to get done. You know where they're at?
Come on.
They're getting ready to fill their bellies.
That's right.
There's nothing wrong with having a good meal and sharing family time, but the Savior is more important.
Amen.
He's done something for me nobody else could do. Chuck, when I was lost and undone and on my way to hell, Jesus saved me. Aren't you glad that he had that mercy on you? Aren't you glad? Now, you pray for me for a few minutes. He made his way up to Calvary's hill. And he laid down on the cross. And they took nails and they nailed his hands and his feet. And they stood the cross up. And they let it go, and it fell down in a hole and jarred every bone in his body. He left heaven so that you could be redeemed. He left heaven where he was worshipped and adored, where the angels sang his praises because you needed a Savior, because your sins needed to be forgiven, because you didn't want to die and go to hell. Jesus came just for you. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I've got good news for you today. You don't have to go to hell.
Amen.
Jesus made a way of redemption for even lowly sinners like you and I. Are you glad that we've got a friend in Jesus?
Amen.
I'm telling you, I don't know how I would have made it along life's way without Jesus, without his children there to encourage me and pray for me and lift me up. I'm glad I've got a church where people love one another, where they pray for you when you're down, where they pray for you, they're there for you when you're in trouble. I'm so glad I know God. I'm so glad I'm one of his children. And I'm glad I'm a part of Dutch Bottoms Baptist Church.
Amen.
You know Jesus' story. You know how they offered him vinegar. You know how they pierced him in the side and out came blood and water for the healing of the nations. And you know he said it is finished and bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And that's Friday. Joseph of Arimathea came and begged his body. He had just finished A new tomb. No doubt planning that whenever he died, his children would put him in there. There'd never been a body laid in there before. And he begged the body of Jesus. And he took it and Nicodemus and prepared it as the manner the Jews was to bury and laid it in the tomb, and they rolled the stone up over the door and they sealed it and they put soldiers there to guard it. And here is Saturday, and Jesus' mother Mary had just watched her son die. She had just seen him hanging battered and bruised and bloodied on the cross and saw the agony that he was in and the pain that he had to endure. Remember, Mary, remember in Luke chapter 2 where she brought forth her firstborn son and laid him in a manger, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and there he was, and the wise men came and the shepherds came. But it says this, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Why? What would she? You think she would rejoice because shepherds and wise men had come to worship her child? She knew why he was there. She knew why he had come. And the time was that those thoughts that she had pondered in her heart had become reality. He was hanging between the heavens and the earth. Let me tell you something. We worship all kinds of things. We should worship the man that gave his life for you and I so that we could be redeemed. Oh, the thought of losing a child, the thought of losing that thing that's most dear to us would break our heart. And there's Mary, and it's Saturday, and her firstborn is in the tomb. There's John and Peter and Andrew and Simon and different ones of the disciples. They had been with him. They had talked with him. They had walked with him. They had seen him perform miracles. They were there when he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth out of the grave in a grave clothes. And he said, loose him and let him go. They were there when blind Bartimaeus came forth seeing. They were there when the man sick of the palsy picked up his bed and walked. They were there when Jesus spoke to Legion and the demons came out of him and they found him clothed and in his right mind said, at the feet of Jesus. They were there when the woman came with the issue of blood and touched the hem of Jesus' garment and made whole. They had seen all the miracle and their man, their prophet, their savior, their friend, the one they love, is now in the tomb. And they took his life and looks like there's no hope and it's Saturday. Oh, but listen to me. And I'm sure that Saturday night, Mary laid her head down on the pillow and tears fell and dripped on the pillow. Have you been there? Have you done that? I've been that way before. But listen, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning.
Amen.
Bless him, Lord.
Early on a Sunday morning, and Mary came down to the tomb. Her and Mary Magdalene, and they brought aloes, and they wondered how they would roll the stone away. And when they got there, they were astonished. Something happened. The angel said, why seek ye the living among the dead? For he's not here, but he's risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And they looked, and they saw the napkin that was about his head, and they saw the linen clothes, but Jesus wasn't there.
Amen.
And in one of the Gospels, it says she ran down, and Peter came back and he found that napkin and he found the linen clothes, but Jesus wasn't there.
Amen.
And then we read about two men that were on the road to Emmaus.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And they were talking amongst themselves. One of them was Cleophas. And his wife had been at the foot of the cross when Jesus was crucified. And no doubt, she came home and told Cleophas I saw him bleeding.
Yeah.
I saw him dying. I heard his words when he said it was finished. Oh, I wished you would have seen him, Cleophas. I wished you'd have seen the agony that he was in.
Yeah.
And Cleophas and his friend is walking down the road to Emmaus, and they're talking about all the things they'd seen him do and how their heart was broken because the one that they loved had hung on a cross at Calvary. And let me just tell you about that death on the cross. It was reserved for the meanest and the vilest of men. It was a punishment for prisoners. It wasn't one fit for a king. Oh, and Pilate wrote on the cross, King of the Jews. And the Pharisees said, don't say that, but say that he said I was King of the Jews. Yeah. And Pilate had examined him. He said, what I have written, I have written. Let me tell you something. Whether you reject him or not, he's still your king. And they came upon a man on the road to Emmaus. He said, what manner of communications is this that you're sad? We do that a lot, don't we?
Yeah.
Our friends see us walking like this with our head down, shaking in pity party. Oh, woe is me. What manner of communications is this that you're sad? And Jesus began at Moses and told about all the scriptures that prophesied of his coming. And then when they got where they were supposed to be, they asked him if he would come and abide with them. Do you know that's what we did too? When you said, Jesus, please save me, you invited him into your house.
Amen.
Just like Zacchaeus in the sycamore tree, whenever Jesus said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, what else did he say? For today, I must abide at your house. They invited him to come in and to break bread with them. And as they were sitting there and Jesus was explaining the scriptures, it was revealed to him who he was, and he disappeared out of their sight. And then their communication was different, wasn't it? They said, did our hearts not burn within us? What's that song? I believe it's number 92 in the Green Book. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and then a light from heaven filled my soul and gave my heart in love and wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. And the chorus says, have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. Hear our faintest cry. Answer by, aren't you glad he answered? Feel a little prayer will turn in. You know a little fire is burning. You will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I've had a little talk with
him. Amen.
I know what that heartburn is all about.
Yeah.
It's not the acid reflux. I'm familiar with that too.
Yeah.
I'm talking about that wheel inside a wheel.
That's right.
I'm talking about that fire shut up in your bones.
Yeah.
I'm talking about feeling the Spirit and the power of God.
Amen.
It'll make a new creature out of you. It'll make you glad that you met the Savior.
Yeah.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, you can today.
Amen.
It's simple. Being saved is the most simple thing you'll ever do.
Yes.
You just have to believe on Jesus and ask him to save you. You don't have to believe what I've told you. But I prefer that you believe the King James Version Bible.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Have we not been taught that that is true?
Amen.
You believe the Bible, don't you?
Amen.
You believe the Bible? Here's what the Bible says about it. Ask, and ye shall receive. I'll be done here in a minute. You'll be sitting at the table by 12, I'm sure. Ask and you shall receive. Friend, salvation's the most simple thing you'll ever do. You just have to ask. Let me tell you this. And I told this one night during revival this week. I was 8 years old whenever I got saved. And I'm not sure. I think maybe Dean and Glenda was at Rankin about the time I got saved. Sandy, you might have been at Rankin about the time I got saved. Friend, I didn't know how to pray. And I still don't. I've just got to wait on the Spirit. When the Spirit comes by, I can have a little talk with Jesus and He can talk to me. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know the Ten Commandments. I didn't know the 18 Articles of Faith. I didn't know what it meant to be Baptist or what Baptists believed. I've been raised in church all my life. You don't have to know a single thing about any of that. All you have to know is that you're on your way to hell. And if you realize that you're lost and on your way to hell, the simplest thing you'll ever do is say, Jesus, save me. What a prayer. I've heard them pray great big eloquent words. Oh, and they're above my head. I've got a college education. They're above my head. Oh, but the best prayer that I ever prayed in my life was to say, Jesus, please save me. You know why that was so special? Because He answered it. Because He saved me. I went down on my way to hell and got up on my way to heaven. I got up a changed creature. I was the same little ugly boy on the outside, but on the inside, I was a child of the King. Yeah. On the inside, I was a fit subject for the kingdom of heaven. You know why that was possible? Because Jesus gave His life on Calvary and rose on the third and appointed morning. He said, because I live, ye can live also. He doesn't want a single one to perish. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be redeemed. Don't reject Him and turn Him away as He knocks at your heart. Don't say no. Don't let Satan convince you that you'll wait to some later time. If you hear His voice today, harden not your heart. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. If He's knocking at your heart right now, I'd run to the altar. I'd beg and plead until I knew that everything was all right between me and God.
Amen. Amen. Come on.
He won't accept your sin. But He'll help you to give that up.
Amen.
How do you know, preacher? Where's that at in the Bible? The things I once loved, this is Paul speaking. The things I once loved, I now hated. And the things I once hated, I now love.
Amen.
You see, we serve a God that's big enough to change your want to.
Amen.
The sin that you think you can't do without can be replaced with the joy that Jesus gives.
Amen.
And if you don't have any joy in your life, maybe you need more Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Can I finish telling you about my Jesus?
Amen.
I'll just be another minute. He appeared. The disciples went and shut the door. Jesus appeared to them in the upper room, didn't He? But Thomas wasn't with them. And he said, I'll not believe it until I touch the nail prints in his hand. And I put my hand in his side where they pierced him with a spear.
Yeah.
And a few days later, Jesus appeared to... Now listen, they had to shut the door. You all right with me preaching this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If we're going to get to the Lord, we've got to leave the world outside.
Right.
That means your troubles. That means your heartaches. That means the thing of this world. They don't mix. They don't mix. This is not a Hollywood production. We don't need the steam rising off the altar. We don't need the floodlights. We need the power of God.
Amen.
They shut the door and shut the world out. And Jesus appeared to them again. And he said, come here, Thomas. Put your finger in the nail print. You know why that nail print was there? I made it, and you made it. Our sins caused the scars and the hands and the feet of the Savior.
That's right.
And he said, reach your hand right here, Thomas, and feel. Feel my side. And be not what? Be not faithless, but believing.
That's right.
Friend, here's how it is. If you're going to live for the Lord, you have to have faith.
That's right.
We get down, we pray, and then we get up and we doubt. The Lord is not going to answer a prayer like that. You have to believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We cannot be a victim and a victor at the same time. We are one or the other. If you're going to live for the Lord, praise Him and claim the victory.
Amen.
Or we can wallow in our sin, we can wallow in our self-doubt, and we can wallow in our pity, and we can be a victim. But you can't be both at the same time. I'm going to say, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Oh, Satan will beat you down, won't he? He'll tell you you're not doing any good. He'll tell you you might as well quit and give up. Shame on you, Satan. I've got the victory because I claim Jesus as my Savior.
Amen.
Well, I don't care about that, preacher. You will when you lift your eyes in hell.
That's right.
Hell's a real place. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Some of you have never been to Sneeble, but you believe it's across the mountain. You've never been to hell, but you better believe it's real. Because without Jesus, you're going there.
Right.
That's the truth.
I don't mean to pick on Sneeble. There's a lot of good churches, a lot of good people over there.
Amen.
Friend, what will you do with Jesus? Because you're going to do something with Him. I'll just sit right here, preacher. And I'll be right quiet. And I won't say anything, and I won't do anything. And when you dismiss the service, I'll ease out the door, and everything will be okay. No, it won't. You're either going to accept Jesus or you're going to reject Him. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And let me tell you why some of this stuff just doesn't work. Yeah, we had two precious souls saved this week. And if you wouldn't hear, you missed a blessing.
Amen.
But now listen. I'd rather say that we had two souls saved that trusted the Lord and asked Him to be their Savior, as to say we had 10 and I had to drag 8 of them to the altar. Because here's what happens when you get in that situation. You deceive these. And they go through life thinking they're okay, and they wake up in hell one day. Friend, let every man, you need scripture, don't you? Let every man work out his own salvation with fear and much trembling. I can't recite scripture to you and say, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe this? And I can't declare you saved. You've got to work it out for yourself. You have to ask Jesus to save you personally. If you don't ask Him personally, you'll never get it.
Amen.
Oh, friend, you have to want Him to be your Savior.
Yes.
There is no other way to get it. I'll tell you today, but y'all will let you know this, then surely I'll hush. You're surrounded by people that want to see you saved.
Amen.
There is no more purpose in us gathering here today. Well, preacher, I got my new dress. I want to show it off. I got my new tie. I want everybody to see it. I'm here to see somebody saved
Amen.
By the grace of God.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Praise you, Lord.
Friend, what are you going to do with Jesus? Well, tomorrow I'll do something. You might not wake up tomorrow.
That's right.
Tomorrow.
You might not have another day. What will you do with Jesus today? You have to decide. Listen, in Him we live and move and have our very being. My dad was 77 when he passed. My grandpa was 60. I'm almost there. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I might live to be 90, and I might live to be 57, which is what I am right now. You don't know. So why not trust Jesus right now? Why not trust Him today? I can promise you this, you will be glad you did. There's no other name given under heaven whereby ye
must
be born again. Well, preacher, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do the other. Let me tell you what you're going to do. When we see Jesus coming in the clouds, you're going to hit your knees. Every knee will bow. Let me tell you what you're going to say. Well, I'll tell Him. I didn't know. I'll tell Him nobody. No, you won't. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that He's King of kings and Lord of lords to the glory of God the Father. Now, we may disagree on scriptures. You may see things, and I know there's some of you that see things differently than I do, and that's okay. But I believe you can read out of the King James Version Bible where every knee will bow
Amen.
And every tongue shall confess. I don't have to bow to anybody. You will to Him. You will. I want to see Jesus. Even the atheist will see Him.
Amen. Come on.
Even the agnostic will see Him.
Amen.
And all of them will bow.
That's it.
Yep.
They'll acknowledge, whether you accept it or not, that God sent His Son to be a Savior.
Amen.
You'll acknowledge it.
Amen. Come on.
And then what you do with it after that depends on what you do today. Depends on whether or not you believe in Jesus today. Friend, I'm going to say this. The Lord loves you. It doesn't matter what you've done or what you've not done. He came to save sinners. And if you'll ask Him into your heart, He'll save you. I told you it's the easiest thing in the world to be saved.
Yes.
You know what's hard? The way of a transgressor is hard.
Mm-hmm.
Paul found that out, didn't he? What did the voice tell him that spoke to him? He said, it is hard for thee to kick against the critics. To go on living and rejecting God is hard. Why not do the easy thing? Try Jesus.
Amen.
Try Jesus. I'll guarantee you He's the best thing that'll ever happen to you. He's the best friend I've ever had. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Well, I'd like to have a friend like that, preacher. If a man desireth friends, he must first show himself friendly.
Amen.
Have you tried to be They sang that song. I'll be a friend to Jesus. Have you tried? Because he's already been a friend to you. Tell me somebody else that gave his life for you. Tell me somebody else that suffered for you. Now, don't worry about the dying part. Let's just go this far. Tell me somebody else that endured pain on your behalf. Right. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Tell me somebody that's endured some pain for you. Can you? That'd be hard. You'd be hard pressed to find somebody, wouldn't you? Now think about somebody dying for you. You can't find anybody else like Jesus, because he's the only one. He's the only one. You see, weeping may endure for a moment, but for a night, but joy cometh in the morning.
Amen.
Friends, there's going to be a day. This world's getting harder to live in, ain't it?
Yeah.
It's getting darker and darker. There's going to be a day when we look up and Jesus is going to be here.
Amen.
I don't know what it's going to be. I try not to argue, because my opinion is worthless and yours is worthless. It's going to be what he wants it to be.
Amen.
He's going to come back in the clouds.
Yeah, right.
And it don't matter what happens from there, as long as I'm with him.
Amen.
That's all that matters.
Amen.
Friend, if you want to be with him, you have to be saved.
Amen.
That's right.
You have to be saved.
Gotta be saved.
Listen. Jesus gave his life for you.
Amen.
So that you wouldn't have to die and go to hell. If you don't get anything else out of what I said this morning, take that to heart. I thought a lot about it. I heard Zane Stewart preach one time. What will you do with Jesus? So I'm asking you, what will you do? Will you accept him? Because he wants to save you. Have you seen the pictures of Jesus when he was crucified? You know how he was crucified? Like this. You know what he's still doing today? He still has open arms.
Amen.
To wrap them around you and tell you he loves you. He still has open arms to wash and make you clean. He still has open arms to welcome you into his family if you'll trust him. Won't you call on him today? Why don't you ask him to be your Savior? Becky, would you care to come and sing just a handful of dust? While she sings, if you want to pray, you come on. Preacher, I don't have time for that. One day you'll make it time. One day you'll spend eternity crying and begging and pleading for mercy, begging the Lord to come and intervene, but it'll be too late. One more scripture. He said, I've called and called and ye refused. He said, there'll be a day when you'll call and I'll laugh at your calamity.
Amen.
Once you go to hell, it's too late. This is the day that the Lord hath made. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to rejoice in it, or are you going to reject him and turn him away? While they sing, if you need to pray, come on.
Jesus passed.